be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers appeared outside wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak with you." But he said in reply to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother, my sister, my mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel we have that dramatic scene in which Jesus is in a house crowded with sick people and others trying to listen to him. It was so crowded that Mary and Jesus' cousins, I know the sisters all know this, but Christian, this might be your first time to recognize that in Hebrew and in Greek there's no real big distinction between the word for brother or male relative. It's the same word, and so when we use brothers here, we're not talking about blood brothers, we're talking about relatives. And just as you would know in Spanish, brothers refers to both guys and gals. So Mary and Jesus' relatives were standing outside wanting to speak to Jesus. Mary was the exact contrast to the evil and faithless generation we met yesterday, constantly asking for a sign. We would have thought if Jesus were going to be teaching kindergartners that he would immediately follow the fourth commandment and go out and be with his mother and his relatives. But he had a greater plan of maturation in mind, to take them to see the real meaning of his mission. He was that sign that God the Father had given, and he wanted to point them to the signified with regard to their own life. And Jesus had come down from heaven to earth to found a new family. He was going to take advantage of the crowd, take advantage of the obstacles for Mary and his cousins to see him, in order to teach them and teach us this crucial lesson. Who are my brothers? Who is my mother? Jesus points to all of the disciples who had come to him with faith and said, "Behold them, these are my mother and my brothers, because whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my mother, my brother, my sister." How does divine filiation happen? Today we can focus just on three things. We'll focus on today's gospel as the third in the real flourishing. But the first comes from receiving Christ in faith. We see in the prologue of St. John's gospel that Jesus came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But to those who did receive him, he gave power to become children of God. So it's first receiving God in faith, and that power, that dunamis that he gives to become children of God, is the Holy Spirit who's poured out into our hearts that helps us to cry out, "Abba, Father," which just doesn't signify words that we say in prayer, but transforms us so that we can relate to God like beloved children crying out, "Daddy." It's the first means of our divine filiation. It's totally by grace received in faith. The second way we grow in our divine filiation is absolutely crucial in this extraordinary jubilee of mercy. It's through getting to relate to our Father in his mercy. This is something that many, when they look at the parable of the prodigal son, don't get in its depth. But the essence of sin is a failure to relate to the Father as we ought. The essence of grace is living in that relationship of holy filiation. At the very beginning of that parable, we see that the son, the first son, the one dubbed the prodigal one, wanted to treat his father as if he were dead. Give me now, Father, the inheritance that will come to me when you croak. I just can't wait for the obituary. Give it to me now because you're dead to me. And what an extraordinary act of magnanimity, act of mercy on the part of the father. Knowing that he wasn't going to be able to persuade his son, allowed his son to walk away. The money was so insignificant, but the father knew the son well enough to know how the son was going to waste the money. Heck, the older brother in the parable knew how the son was going to waste the money. But the father let him go because he had that plan of mercy in mind, and the only way that his son was going to learn how to relate to his father was through the process of conversion, through seeing the father's love and mercy. But we see the father in the parable allowed his son to go off because it was about the only way that the son was going to be able to discover his own vocation in the father's love. And that's what happened by stages. When he hit rock bottom in that pigsty, came to his senses, with imperfect contrition began the journey home, rehearsed his speech, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me just like one of your hired hands, because at least I recognize you're good to the people you don't even have to feed. You have to feed the slaves, you don't have to feed the hired hands. Treat me like one of them. Still didn't really grasp who the father was, that the father would never be able to treat a son like a hired hand. But he had begun at least to recognize the treasure of his father's goodness. And the father would blow him away by totally restoring him to his own dignity, putting sandals on his feet as a son so that he could walk wherever he wanted, his own signet ring so that he could sign checks essentially in the father's name, IOUs with that ring. Wrapped him, even though he had just come from a pigsty, with his own finest garments. And there weren't dry cleaning businesses in the ancient world. To wrap dung with the finest garments might be to lose those garments forever. And then kill the fatted calf for the biggest celebration. And it was then that the son was able to open himself up to who he is in the father's merciful love. The older son, as we know, didn't get it either. He didn't really grasp who the father was. He obeyed the father, but he didn't exist in a relationship of love with the father. And when he passive-aggressively was staying outside of the feast, sulking, and the father came out and said, please come on in. He said, this son of yours, he couldn't even relate to him as a brother anymore because he really didn't see both of their filiation. I've never once disobeyed your orders, and yet you never even gave me a young goat for feasting with my friends. Never once disobeyed your orders, we could say, Master. Because there wasn't that relationship of sonship. But it was the experience of mercy that God wanted us to have for us to be able to relate to him. My son was lost and has been found, was dead, and has come back to life. That's a resurrection experience when we begin to realize in God's mercy how great God's personal relationship is, and that we can never lose it even through our sins. Second way we become children of God is through this experience of mercy. And the third way we can talk about today, we ponder in today's gospel. Jesus says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Jesus was always doing the Father's will, and he wants us to enter into his own obedient filiation. And as we do, we become more and more conscious of our relationship with the Father, not by the obedience of the older son in the parable, but intrinsically we enter on into that sacred listening so that we become real doers of the word, living, breathing commentaries on the Father's generation through his word. And that leads us to the shocking aspect of what Jesus says today. We will also be his mother if we do the will of the Father. St. Ambrose, 1600 years ago, described how that happens. Because when we receive the word of God with an obedient heart, that word begins to grow in us. We become impregnated by the word. It begins to take on more and more of our own life, transmuting us as we transmute it, as we become more and more united with the Lord through that word. And that word, like a pregnancy, grows to be so big that we can no longer keep it in. And as the Spanish and the Portuguese will say in their idiom about giving birth, we must give that light we've conceived to others. We must give that conceptus to the light. And that's the way St. Ambrose said, we become mothers to Christ, the Word of God, at the same time, through precisely the obedience that confirms us in our filiation. This is a great mystery. But once we start seeking to do the will of God, having recognized through mercy that we failed, and having constantly the opportunity to receive Christ in faith as he speaks to us his word, then everything changes. And then all the other things that we could say about our divine filiation flow immediately. For example, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. They won't just be called, but they will be children of God. Because once this whole process has happened, we become more and more chips off the old divine block. And Christ wants to send us out as his peacemakers to effectuate continuously that definitive peace treaty between God and the human race in Jesus and in all his saving work. Today, as we come forward, having heard Micah's praise for the Father's mercy, and having cried out many times in the responsorial psalm, show us that mercy. God the Father does. He does in the word that he's proclaimed to us today. He does in the call to our divine filiation. He does right here at Mass. As we become one with that Son, enter into his relationship with the Father, and become for the world images of this great peacemaker, so that they too might discover who they really are in this filiation and come to rejoice with us, we pray, one day in the Father's eternal abode. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.